Continuing in 1 John 5. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. These are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has testified to His Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made Him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, we got to that part about water and the blood right there. What does John mean? Oh, come on, folks.
Our identity is found in the whole story.
Yes, but how does Jesus get here? When we gather here December 24th at 7 p.m., to do Christmas Eve, what story do we tell?
Birth.
Okay. Water and blood and birth? Any of you ladies tell me, does that happen? Right? Okay, so there's pieces to this. When we sang our first hymn today, did you catch in the first verse that the water and the blood from His wounded side which poured? Okay, so they're talking about lots of things here. We get introduced to Jesus when, most of the time, other than Luke, who Luke is, you know, the only one who gives us Christmas, but Matthew, when do we meet Jesus? Bob, you know the answer. When do we meet Jesus? And that big public moment when the clouds open up and the dove descends, what's happening to Jesus?
Baptism.
What do we use for baptism? There you go, right? When standing at the foot of the cross, the centurion says, "Truly, this man was God's son." What has happened? There's some blood, right? There's some water. There's this peace going on, and we 21st century Christians get really, particularly us upper middle class Presbyterian types, get really squeamish about blood. It's kind of gross. It's kind of dangerous. So we don't talk about that too terribly much because it's gross and it's dangerous. There's also something to it. If we're good Old Testament scholars, we know that there's a reason why the Jews slaughter things a certain way. And the way that they do it is so that all the blood drains out. Because if you're Jewish, the understanding is that the blood is where the life is contained. So what's John telling us here? Water and blood, and if you believe, what do you get? Huh. John might be a biblical scholar, imagine that. Moving forward in the history of the church, as we move and dilate history through all of our early church heretics, we have this problem in the early church that we are lousy rabble-rousers. We follow well in Jesus' footsteps, and we upset the social order. Why? We're talking about a king who's not Caesar. That's a problem. And it gets Christians in lots and lots and lots of trouble. It gets us in trouble that leads to death. It leads to torture, it leads to imprisonment, it leads to death. Thinking about that, as a peace we've lost, as our relatively comfortable 21st century American Christians, John writes that the water and the blood and the Spirit testify to what God is doing. What does that look like in the first century when you have the waters of baptism and the blood of the martyrs and a church rapidly growing in the midst of persecution? John's got something here. There's a reason this book is in the Bible. Imagine that. So what happens if we drop one of those things out? What happens if we decide that baptism isn't really important other than the fact I'm going to give Granger a hissy fit, heart attack? What happens if we take baptism out of the equation? Story's incomplete. What have we lost? What happens, particularly at baptism, that typically doesn't happen any other time? Identity. We say we belong to God. Not just God saying we belong to God. Not just the preacher saying you belong to God. We say we belong to God. Is that important? Right? So, okay, so let me put the water back. Because we got to have the water, right? We got to have the water. What happens if we take the blood away? You've taken the life away. Where's the connection? Sunday school people, Tim's Sunday school class. Blood comes from, ever heard the word sacrifice before? What happens if we take away sacrifice? What happens if we take away offering? What?
No love.
No love. Ooh, you want to give up love? I'm not sure I'm ready to give up love. Just want to keep the blood, right? What happens if we take the Spirit away? Yeah, well, then we really get into trouble usually. We become very good, defined, decently, and in order Presbyterians, is the tongue-in-cheek comment. We have a system that has no life. A faith that does not breathe. A faith that does not speak. Right? Look at what the Spirit does. When we get that massive Pentecost experience, what happens? What does the Spirit do? Speaks in tongues. Lights things up. Turns Peter from a spineless invertebrate to a powerful preacher. Gives guidance, courage, knowledge. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to throw the Spirit out either. Right? So what's that look like for a 21st century church? Balance? Looks like the Trinity. It might look like a weekend in Arkansas for our youth, who had plenty of this that had come out of their pores and into their shirts. and plenty of blood from scraped knuckles and knees. Blind people bump into things. And a spirit that you heard this morning. When was the last time you heard a teenager say they couldn't handle it on their own? What does this look like for the church in the 21st century? Tom is going to tell us that we're about to do what? What's Tom's favorite word? They do listen, Tom. Right? All in search of something like this. Maggi and Boya, right, Tom? Water is life. And people have lost life in Africa because there was no water. And the thing that we will hear time and time again as we leave a village is you have to come back, the next village needs a well. John is on to something here that perhaps we don't spend enough time with. It takes this stuff. I could be really obnoxious and start flicking it at all of you, but right, it takes this stuff on our foreheads, poured down over us, immersing us, crashing in over our heads, for us to finally say that we belong to God. How humbling is it to come to the table and receive the body and blood of Christ? And what happens when that still small voice can no longer be ignored? The one that sits right back here? The one that we do a really good job of ignoring most of the time? But the one that keeps us awake at night? Or that keeps on recycling this idea past our eyes? Or the one that says, "This is not right"? Right? Water, blood, spirit. As you go out into the world, think about John being right. Where does the water work in your life? It's more than washing. It's more than washing. Where have you encountered the blood of Christ? Sacrificial, offering, sustaining, transforming. And where has the Holy Spirit been dragging you, kicking and screaming? And when we put all those things together, what does that mean for Christ's church in Marion, Illinois, in 2016, and for Christ's body in all of these different bodies? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Your story in our midst, and remind us of that story. Help them to not just prepare lessons, but to prepare lives. Help them to not only give guidance, but receive your guidance. And help us to to walk with them bravely, fearfully, wonderfully into all the places that your story, your Christ, lead us. We pray this in his name. Amen. Thank you. One of the side effects of valuing Christian education is that occasionally you have somebody who leaves you money for education. And several years ago, Jack Giles did that and then got exasperated with the fact that the session wasn't moving fast enough, so he moved faster again. The person who entered the witness protection program with his new apparel and hair is Gus Martini, in case you don't recognize him. And Gus is beginning his second year of college. He is still, I think, an American studies major.
And philosophy.
And philosophy. Those of you who know Gus are not surprised. And he, this year, is the recipient of the Giles Scholarship. And so we want to recognize him and give that to him and say congratulations, and we continue to expect great things from you. And my, you've turned into a young adult. Right in front of our eyes. Congratulations. We continue to expect wonderful things from you. This part of the worship service in the church I grew up in, right after the sermon, had a section title called In Response to the Word. And that's what we're doing. All of this is stuff we do in response to the Word. We teach, we say thank you, we recognize, we celebrate, and we're going to pray. The prayer sheet is the kind of cream-colored sheet in your bulletin today. Lee has more colors of paper than I have words for. And we will start with the prayer request from the Messengers class. They're praying to remember Miriam and Peregrine, that they're having a good time in Lithuania. That yesterday was Maggie's birthday. We hope that Molly learns not to stand on the table. That we have our animals back, goats and cows. We hope people learn to love each other and get along together. We hope people don't get lost. If you are lost, remember God is there. And I have a feeling that we had the parable of the shepherd and the lost sheep today, because we have a shepherd and we have a lost sheep. I'm not really being dramatic there. So, friends, what else do we have to pray for today? I see Tim and Granger and Jean. Tim?
This is Thanksgiving. Dina, who has been fighting cancer, has had a good report for her three-month report. Doesn't have to go back for another 3 months. Her liver is growing.
Mary, do you have it?
Yes. Oh, I've got three answered prayers. The first is raising my son, David, was hired full-time with the Williamson County Sheriff's Department, which he truly loves that job. So he was happy to be able to quit his Amtrak job as conductor. And Norma Kramer's breast cancer surgery was very successful. It took 6 hours, but all the cancer's been removed. And Jan has a tentative closing date, the first part of September, for her house.
A couple of things. First of all, my godson Jacob, who many of you have met, who's in his junior year at Millikan right now, leaves for his study abroad semester in London on Tuesday. So prayers for him as he travels. And also prayers for this presbytery as one of our most faithful ruling elders, Ruling Elder Mary Turner, moves away from us. She has served as moderator of general counsel for the past 6 years. Bless her, and many other things, but prayers for her as she leaves the presbytery, and prayers for us as we figure out what to do without her.
Jean?
I wish we would remember in prayer my classmate Francine Sanders. She was flown to St. Louis this week with undiagnosed problems, but very serious, her family says.
Okay. Suzanne?
I'd like to thank you for all your prayers for my surgery. It seems to be going well, but pray for healing.
I'd like to ask for your prayers for the seminary down in the Rio Grande Valley, Edinburgh Theological Seminary. It will start up again this week, and I hope to participate in the opening ceremonies. But this is a particularly difficult time for the seminary because the students, many of the students come from Mexico, and they have to travel through dangerous territory. And then the locals, the students who come from the Rio Grande Valley, are of course deeply troubled by the current climate about immigration and all that comes with it. So there is a lot of tension and a lot of challenges. And so please, it's a small but growing seminary, and please keep them in your prayers and pray that the Lord may continue to bless its efforts. Thank you.
Mona?
Yes, for Nathalie Williams. She's one of my good friends' mom, Fallenberg, her hip yesterday. She's like 86. They're waiting today to find out if they can do surgery because she has a heart aneurysm. So lots of prayers for her and her family.
Would remind us of prayers for Italy in the after effects of a major earthquake, lots of damage, lots of lost lives. Do we have others? Tim? It's a race. Can I get across faster?
Continue to remember the lighthouse and those that came and helped cook this past week.
Thank everyone that supported us on the heifer trip and that helped us get there, and hope that we get more support so we can do more fun trips.
Okay, Tom, you're leaving this weekend and we don't commission you often enough, and you need prayer. So. It's been a tough week, hasn't it? Yeah, this week more than normal, though. Tom, you know, we throw Tom out of the congregation, off the continent on a fairly regular basis, and he does great things in Christ's name, and God uses Tom in some really odd ways that I'm really happy he uses Tom for instead of using me for.
He's gone.
Yeah, the plane ticket's paid for. I'm going.
We'll figure something out.
Uh-huh. And those things have all come with costs. You guys have seen the hours and the weeks away from home that Tom has spent. You have seen pictures of flipped over trucks. You have heard him describe the places he spends the night that he paid a dollar for, and he overpaid. We pray for Tom and Jocelyn. We pray for the work that God has called them to. And we pray particularly this past week as we mark an anniversary for the dream that was held that did not come to play. We pray for the losses that have come along the journey. So friends, will you pray with me as we pray for Tom and we raise all our prayers? God, you do great and amazing things. You wash us clean in waters, no matter how filthy we are. You feed us at a table, no matter how hungry or how well fed we are. There is room, and there is bread, and there is cup. And your Spirit drives us. It drives us to all these different places. It drives us north on carbon and south on carbon. It drives us east on Hendrickson until it becomes Boynton. It drives us until Main Street becomes Old 13. It drives us until 37 goes into Johnson County and Franklin County and beyond. Now we pray this day for answered prayers, for closing dates that are going to happen, for surgeries that have been successful, We pray this day for new jobs and new hopes. And we pray for new starts that come filled with tensions and unsafe journeys and unsafe homes. We pray for the hungry and the thirsty and the hurting and the wounded. And yes, Lord, sometimes we're talking about ourselves. We pray for those who go before us, for Tom and Jocelyn, who have led us to places that we never would have figured out to go, to villages with strange names, to people who don't look like us, to find your living water springing up, renewing and replenishing us. We give thanks for that work and ask you once more to be with them and bless them and guide them into that new work that you are constantly doing, to the new creation you are constantly making. God, you come to us in Bethlehem in the form of a child. You worm your way into the world, teaching, healing, touching, living. And so now, as those who have been touched by you, as those who consider you our guest and our friend, we pray as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.